Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we continue our speed review, The Master Coach. In the studio with me, I have Simon. Welcome, Simon.
Hey, Brandon. It's good to be here, especially talking about coaching.
What stuck out from yesterday for you, Simon?
Well, there are a couple of different things. The writer of this book, Greg Thompson, who's involved in coaching at a bunch of different levels, but a lot of it is leadership development oriented. He gave us a lot of comparisons between coaches and other, I guess, jobs that we think of as being very similar to coaching. So, for example, teachers and mentors.
Yeah, he told us what coaching is not. It's not your best friend. It's not, you know, exactly the same as a teacher and so forth, as Simon mentioned. And welcome back to the studio, Lois.
Hi, it's good to be back, and thank you for hosting this, Brandon. And, you know, it's good to have a speed review, and I see we're still not in the middle of February, so this is a time to, as it says on the top of page 20, to learn and lead. And this article helps us with that.
Yeah, and when you look at this, you may think of, when you see the word coach, you may think of a sports team, or you may think of something like a leadership development sort of thing, like a life coach. In either case, as we talked about some yesterday, you can learn certain principles that will help you in life, right? What are some of those?
That is right. Well, he sort of went into this framework that he's developed to explain how coaching works. Yeah, he talked about there being three dimensions. And yesterday, of course, we only got into the first one. But he called them the three C's, and that's because each of the dimensions started with the letter C. So the first one was character.
And the second one is connection. The third one is conversation. We're talking about connection and conversation today. But we ended yesterday talking about a character, and I really liked, Lois, how it mentioned that the coach has to be someone you actually want to listen to, right? They have to have something to say.
Right. And it also was referring to their character, like we said, and I thought instantly, you want this coach to have integrity.
Yeah.
Really, we sum it up with that word, or at least I did.
That's right, and authenticity is big. Whether you're a coach or not, it's really important to be real, to be authentic, and that's helpful in relationships. You can help your friends through things when you are authentic. And I think people are more willing to come to you with their problems if you are authentic, because they know that you also have issues and you're willing to share, and so you're open to them sharing as well. And so that's a good quality to have in life in general, but especially as a coach. Well, if you have your magazines, please open them to page 21. You can also follow along with your digital device. Right now, we'll have our first reading for today.
Connection. All significant change occurs through the medium of the relationship with the person you are coaching, Thompson writes. In this illuminating section of the book, he explores the nuances of the relationship between a coach and the person they are coaching. The foundation of coaching is an appreciation of the talent's attributes and strengths by the coach. The simplest appreciation, he notes, is acknowledgement, taking the time to fully recognize the unique person. Expectations, emphasizing that the coach must develop and work off the talent's expectations, not their own, and holding them accountable, are other elements of connection. And perhaps most surprising, Thompson calls for coaches to love those they are coaching. Love is not a term I use lightly here, he writes. However, he explains, to like someone infers some kind of judgment. Love is required of coaches, because, he writes, there is no other way for me to put aside my judgments and to see them at their best.
Well, if you are in a relationship of any kind, it's important to connect. All significant change occurs through the medium of the relationship with the person you are coaching, Thompson writes. And that's important, isn't it, Lois, to really connect. If you're being a life coach or teacher, anything, yeah, it's important to connect.
Yeah, I think of it in my family. I want to connect with my husband. I want to connect with my children. It's a part of our life, right? You do want to connect, too, with your boss at work.
Mm-hmm. They describe this section as illuminating. If something is illuminating in this sense, Simon, what is it?
It means it becomes clear. Actually, the word itself talks about, sort of refers to light, bringing light into a situation. And so when we say that, we're just comparing light being like knowledge compared to darkness being things you don't understand. So an illuminating section of the book is just a section that really teaches you a lot and helps you really understand what's going on.
Okay, and then in this section, they explore the nuances of the relationship between a coach and the person they're coaching. And so a nuance is talking about maybe some slight differences, right, between that or in that relationship.
Yeah, you might hear a nuance described as a subtle thing, S-U-B-T-L-E, and that just means sort of a not easily noticed but very important thing.
That's right. Okay, so there are differences there. And then what about the foundation of coaching?
Well, Brandon, it says the foundation of coaching is an appreciation of the talents, attributes, and strengths by the coach.
All right, we have that word attribute as a quality or characteristic that someone or something has. That's a kind of, you know, just another word for quality. Okay, so we're talking about the foundation. Foundation of anything is very important. You have to get that right. So the foundation of coaching, this is what it is. You have to really appreciate the qualities of the talent. And what is the talent's strengths? You have to figure that out as a coach, because if you don't know what their strengths are, you can't call those out and help them to develop them more. So I think that's an awesome part of being a coach, that you meet a person, they're coming to you for advice, and you're trying to figure out what their strengths are. That would be maybe a nice challenge, but it would be very rewarding to see in the end that you've helped them to develop those strengths.
Yeah, and you're really seeing this section of connection kind of growing out of some of the things we talked about yesterday. So, for example, we talked about yesterday the importance of the coach having a good character so that they can sort of be an authority figure to the person they're coaching, a person who can be trusted. But then we also talked about that noble intention, and that was one of the characteristics that Greg Thompson said coaches need to have. And what he meant by that was they need to really be focused on the talent or the person they are coaching. And so we see that here, where we're seeing the coach really needs to appreciate the good things that the talent has to offer. And he goes on to explain that at the very simplest level, it's basically, it requires simple appreciation. So you need to acknowledge that this person has these special abilities and is special.
They use the word unique. You have to realize what you helped another person through may not work for this person. So you have to adapt. This person is unique, and so, you know, maybe the principles are still there, but how you apply them are a little different. The point is that we are unique. Not every person is the same, and the coach has to recognize that. And then we talk about expectations. That's always a big one, Lois.
Right, and we have that here on line 12. It says expectations, emphasizing that the coach must develop and work off the talent's expectations, not their own. And holding them accountable are other elements of connection.
Okay, when we think of expectations, oftentimes we have expectations of others and they cannot live up to that. And so that's important to recognize in ourselves. And here we're talking about the coach must develop and work off the talent's expectations, not their own expectations.
That's interesting, because I would think that you'd want to work off your own. It would be easy to do that.
Well, I think the talent can't necessarily live up to your expectations, but what do they want? What are they striving toward?
Well, I guess, I mean, in a sense, you can encourage the talent to change their goals. Mm-hmm. But the thing I like about this is that if you've got the talent working towards their own goals, then they also have sort of a role to play, like some responsibility in whether or not they achieve the goals. So they're not just like sort of an unthinking worker who's just kind of doing things. They're a person who's trying to achieve their own goals.
Right, and the coach comes up with the expectations, and the person's like, hey, that's not what I want to work toward, and they're maybe not as motivated to do that. But if you let them set those goals, and then you can help hold them accountable. Because, hey, this is what you said you want to do. I'm going to help you work toward it.
Yeah, I kind of think of it as the coach is drawing it out of the person and wanting to see what this talent has available, but also letting the talent see for themselves.
And that's that part of connecting. You have to connect with them in order to draw that out and kind of get to know them. And what are your goals? What do you want to do? And let's do this together. What is most surprising, Simon?
Well, it says that Thompson calls for coaches to love those they are coaching. And that's kind of an interesting term. You don't always think of teachers necessarily loving their students or people loving each other, but that's the term he uses here. And he actually goes on to say that he is not using the term lightly. And that's an interesting phrase, too.
Yeah, and you know, people use love in all sorts of ways, you know, and they describe this further here. You know, if you like someone, it infers some kind of judgment. It means that if you say you like, you're kind of judging them one way or the other.
Right. It's like having on your Facebook something to click on that says like and dislike.
Mm-hmm.
And I
right.
think that's what he's trying to make us look at here. Whereas if you love someone, there's invested in them.
That's right. And it's a choice regardless of their actions. And it's a commitment, right? You're committed to bringing out the best in them. I like how they say that here at the end. You put aside your judgments and you say, I may not like some things about this person's personality, but I'm here to bring out the best in them, help them to do that. And, you know, a lot of people need help with that. They can't see certain things, but you can, and you can help bring that out and call that out of them. And this is a good principle for all of us. We don't need to be a coach in order to do this. If you have friends, whatever the case, family members, you can bring out the best in people, call out the best, and then we do that for each other, and we can hopefully be our best. So this is really a part of being a coach. You have to see past people's issues and see what is best in them and help them to develop those strengths. So yesterday we talked about character, the first C. Today we have been talking about connection. And the last C is conversation. So let's find out about that in our last reading.
Conversation. Dialogue is the process of coaching. Once again, Thompson explores the nuances of what might seem to be an intuitive element of coaching. He emphasizes, for example, the importance of unpredictability and risk in the conversation. An effective coaching conversation is going to take people out of their comfort zones. The coaching conversation does not unfold without wrinkles, Thompson writes in one eloquent passage. It confronts the questions that need to be asked and challenges the talent to answer them honestly. Another facet of the coaching conversation is to help people understand the prevailing personal story and how they can change it. Detailed and honest, built on personal experiences with clients, and supplemented by insightful lists, e.g. the 7 characteristics of a coaching culture, the top 10 ways to build a long-term coaching relationship. The Master Coach is a comprehensive, well-structured guide for leaders ready to begin their conversations with the people they want to coach.
All right, communication, of course, in any relationship is very important. And so the third C is conversation. And we have another word there that falls in line with conversation. We often see that in connection with conversation. It's the word dialogue. What is that, Simon?
It just means talking. Actually, I've worked with Let's Talk in English for a number of years, and I think most of our readers will be very familiar with the dialogue. It's just a conversation.
That's right. Dialogue is the process of coaching. You can't be a coach without having a conversation.
And I think what that really means, is just you can't be a coach by just yelling at someone. You actually have to talk to them and have a conversation with them.
That's right. It's not one-sided.
Yeah, and this, I always think conversation equals listening, because if you're not both listening, you're really not having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. But that grows out of connection, too. So we're really sort of seeing a progress here across the three C's, where first, it's sort of a focus on what the coach must be, and then second, it's a focus on the relationship between the coach and the person that they're coaching, and then the third one is how that relationship operates, right?
All right, so again here we see this word nuance or nuances. Thompson explores the nuances of what might seem to be an intuitive element of coaching. And so it may not be that obvious to you, but he is kind of drawing that out. And that word intuitive is good. It's based on feelings, not facts. And so, you know, it's, if something is intuitive, it's kind of just natural, right, for you to do that. You don't have to think about it much.
Right, it's kind of in there. You just know, right?
Okay, so some people may think, oh, that's just natural for a coach. He said, but it says it might seem that way, but he's going to kind of tell us more about that and fill in the details. He emphasizes what, Simon?
Well, unpredictability, and really what that means is that you can't predict something, so you don't know what's going to happen in the conversation. And what I assume here is that the coach is guiding this conversation, because then it goes on to say that there should be risk in the conversation, and I assume coaches don't always want to be having risky conversations, because if they're doing that, then they won't, you know, necessarily know if they're going to have a good outcome or a bad outcome from the talent person they're coaching.
But it's there. There's risk, right? You don't know what they're going to say, and so you have to kind of be prepared for that. So an effective coaching conversation is going to take people out of their comfort zones.
Right. So they're going to be uncomfortable, but comfort zones mean a situation in which you feel comfortable is a comfort zone, and in which your ability and determination are not being tested. So here we have the opposite, because you're actually going to take the individual, the talent, out of their comfort zone.
Yes, we often use this term to describe our situations. Maybe we want to get out of our comfort zone and do something new. Maybe
right.
That could be a new job or taking on a new hobby, and, you know, we talk about getting out of our comfort zones. And here, in conversation, you may ask someone a question that they're not comfortable answering, so it's outside of their comfort zone. Well, the coaching conversation does not unfold without wrinkles, Simon.
Yeah, that's an interesting phrase, because often when something goes well, we describe it as happening smoothly. We say, you know, that meeting went very smoothly, and the opposite of smooth is wrinkles. And you have to kind of think of a shirt, right,
yes,
that is smooth, or a shirt that is wrinkled. And so if it's not smooth, it's wrinkled.
And you have to iron it, which is not fun. All right, Thompson talks about this. He writes this statement we just talked about in one eloquent passage, and we often refer to speakers as being eloquent. Lois.
Yes, and eloquent means the giving a clear, strong message. So oftentimes we might actually say that about a politician. He's eloquent. I'm thinking of Queen Elizabeth II. We probably say that about her, or maybe a pastor or priest.
All right. Well, it confronts the questions that need to be asked and challenges the talent to answer them honestly. This goes back, I think, yesterday we learned that a coach is not a friend. And I think this is part of the reason why. It's easier to confront and ask these questions, to confront the talent, when you're not their best friend, maybe, because it's your job to do that. And if you say that at the outset, I think it makes it easier on both of you.
Well, and this is why I said earlier that I think the coach isn't the one facing the unpredictability and risk in the conversation. I think the coach is bringing that to the conversation so that it challenges the talent person that they're coaching.
Right. Yes, very good point. It is risky for the talent. And the coach is used to doing that because that's part of what they do.
Yeah, the coach isn't the one answering the uncomfortable questions,
no.
Honestly, right?
It's right.
Because it's not about the coach. That's right. What they told us on the first section where we talked about character. It's all about the talent.
That's right. And then the coach, they want to help people understand the prevailing personal story and how they can change it. Now, we have that phrase and quotation marks. What are they referring to when they're talking about this prevailing personal story, Simon?
That's a very interesting phrase because I think a lot of people would interpret it in different ways. In the last couple of years, I have started to think a lot about a very similar term, like personal narrative.
Mm.
And really what that phrase means, narrative just means story. And so that's a very similar idea here. The word prevailing, of course, means the very common or
dominant,
the most powerful personal story. And when you think about a personal narrative, what you're actually talking about is the story you tell yourself about what is happening to you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a very similar idea. So if you have a person who feels that they are, you know, a victim or a failure in some way, they're not going to set aggressive, bold goals for themselves. And so I think it's important for people to understand how they view themselves and be able to change the way they view themselves if they want to set bigger goals and achieve bigger things.
Right. If a person has poor self-esteem or views themselves negatively, well, they need that mindset change, as we talked about yesterday.
Well, and you can think, if you go back to the idea of sports, how this might affect a player in different ways. For example, if an athlete has had some sort of failure that's very public and it's been very embarrassing, they might be afraid of failing again in the future, and that might limit how much they're willing to really try, right? That sort of thing. And so the things that have happened to you in the past and the way you understand what has happened in those situations can really affect what you do in the present.
That's right. Very good points. Well, this book is described as detailed and honest, built on personal experiences with clients and supplemented by insightful lists. So it's good to have personal experiences to back up what you're saying, and it makes it more interesting. And that word supplemented, what is that referring to?
It's when he says with clients and supplemented by insightful lists, he's putting those in the book. They're a part of the book. We might actually think of them sometimes as an add-on, but in this case, the way he writes, it's not an add-on. You need these supplements in the book. I would think some of them might be graphs, some of them might be charts, that sort of thing.
But that is more of the definition of something supplementing something. You add it on, right, to give you more information or something else to refer to. And so we have these insightful lists. You know, something is insightful. It gives you more understanding. And so what are some of those things listed, Simon?
Well, they give a couple of lists here. One is called the 7 characteristics of a coaching culture. And so the idea there is, I suppose, he's going to tell you about which kinds of things you would find if you're in an environment where there is effective coaching happening. The second one is the top 10 ways to build a long-term coaching relationship. And this really just sounds like 10 tips for how to build a connection with someone you're trying to coach.
Okay, so the book is comprehensive. It's complete. It's well-structured. It's a well-structured guide for leaders ready to begin their conversations with the people they want to coach. So if you're thinking about becoming this type of coach, this book might have some tips there that can help you, at least give you some things to think about, right?
And, right.
You know, if you read a book like this and you only take away 2 or 3 things, well, that's something you can kind of add to your knowledge bank, and maybe that could be useful in the future. And, you know, we hope that you find it useful. If you do read the book, let us know. Let us know how it has helped you. But what I really take away from this article is, you know, everybody's not a coach.
Right.
But we can still use some of these things in our own relationships.
Yeah, I like how it ends. The Master Coach is a comprehensive, well-structured guide for leaders ready to begin their conversations with the people they want to coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how that it, you understand there is a desire for many people to coach and help people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great tool to maybe check that out for you in your own life.
That's right. So it involves character, connection, and conversation, according to the writer of The Master Coach, Greg Thompson. That's what's involved in being a good coach. And so that's also important things we can use in our daily lives. Well, we thank you for joining us for this month's Speed Review article. We hope you will check out our Topic Talks videos for this article and all of our articles for the month of February. And we hope you also join us next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.